Shalom, Mayflower family and friends. Grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ. As we gather for worship on Harvest Sunday, as if you couldn't tell, which is an annual event that has been going on here at Mayflower for quite some time, certainly beyond my memory. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, along with our worship team and our production staff, and we are happy and thrilled that you have joined us for another service coming to you from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. With that, we'd like to welcome all of our online guests, to all of you who gather in person and those who also gather with us today through the miracle of online. No matter who you are or where you are along this journey we call life, welcome. It's with some degree of sadness that I pass on the fact, some of you are probably aware of it on the email lists, two beloved members of our church passed away within hours of each other this last week on Tuesday and Wednesday, Liz Tingley and Linda Williams. The family of Linda Williams has indicated there will be no funeral or memorial service, but her loving husband Dick will appreciate thoughtful remembrances by his church family. So please keep Dick, Kimberly, and Christian, those are the two the adult children of Dick and Linda, in your prayers during this time of grief and loss. The family of Liz Tingley will be planning a memorial service next summer, but as with Linda's family, they also will appreciate the thoughtful remembrances from Liz's church family, and that is us. Liz's family asked that in lieu of flowers or specific memorial gifts, that you do something special for a child, or someone that you might just choose to do a less than random act of kindness, because as followers of Christ, acts of kindness are never random. So do that in remembrance of Liz Tingley and all of her kindness and love. And she has an amazing obituary that is listed on Facebook, and I think it's one of the sites that you go on for the obituary. But I, as a pastor, want to thank all of you, Mayflower, for your continued caring and sharing. So a brief summary of reminders. We are going to display a couple of creches in the lobby and in the lobby and the narthex, if you know what the narthex means. That's church language, but it's that area out there. And I think we have a couple of those in our stash here at the church, but if you have a meaningful crash that you would like to have displayed, we could probably use a couple more of them. So just let the church office, Lorraine, someone know that you have that, and you could either give it or have it online, loan to our church during the Advent season. If you haven't checked out our new entrance doors in the lobby, some of you naturally would come in and out of these doors, but the new lobby doors have been here for a couple weeks or more, so check those out. And again, thank you, Mayflower, for your faithful giving, which makes the maintenance of our building and sacred space an important priority. And if you haven't turned in a pledge or intend to do so, please see Linda Wheeler or Lorraine Finneson as we begin the process of working with our budget for next year. No women's Bible study this week for obvious reasons. We want everyone to enjoy, as you can, time around a table, hopefully with family members at Thanksgiving. You will also have the opportunity to purchase a poinsettia and remember our honor of someone or some event. And they'll be again available during the season of Advent, which, by the way, begins next Sunday and can be taken home after the Christmas Eve service. The cost is staying the same. It's $10, and you can see Lorraine about that. And if you have a penchant for decorating, and many of you do, and have the opportunity to do so, the church will be being decorated for Advent and the Christmas season on Friday, December 3rd at 1 o'clock, and that's always a fun time. Our special musicians today are Sally Potter, Kim Finneson, Jamie Keller. Our liturgist is Gail Sawyer. And our guest speaker is Mark Chris, and I'll be introducing him a little bit later, but his wife, Diana, is with us. That's very close to a name I'm familiar with. And sometimes Deanne gets called Diana. It's okay. So, listen carefully to the Thanksgiving theme as well as a hint of Advent as Sally Potter brings us our prelude today. Let us worship God.
Table, a moment to remember and reflect upon our wealth. Here's to loving friends and family, here's to being able to gather here together in good company and health. May we be released from all those feelings that would harm us. May we have the will to give them up and get them gone. For heavy are the satchels, full of anger and false promise. May we have the strength to put them down. And may the light of love be shining deep within your spirit. May the torch of mercy clear the path and show the way. May the horn of plenty sound so everyone can hear it. May the light of love be with you every day. May we wish the best for everyone that we've encountered. May we swallow pride and may we do away with fear. For it's only what we do not know that we've become afraid of, and only what we do not choose to hear. And may the light of love be shining deep within your spirit. May the torch of mercy clear the path and show the way. May the horn of plenty sound so everyone can hear it. May the light of love be with you every day. As we bless our daily bread and drink our day's libation, may we be reminded of the lost and the wayward souls, the hungry and the homeless that we have in every nation. May we fill each empty cup and bowl. May nothing ever come between or threaten to divide us. May we never take for granted all of the gifts that we receive. Being ever mindful of the unseen hands that guide us and the miracles that cause us to believe. And may the light of love be shining deep within your spirit. May the torch of mercy clear the path and show the way. May the horn of plenty sound so everyone can hear it. May the light of love be with you every day. May the horn of plenty sound so everyone can hear it. May the light of love be with you every day.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally. Your music is always so very inspiring. Good morning, Mayflower family and friends. It is a joy to welcome those of you who have gathered in person and online on this Harvest Sunday, a long-standing tradition here at Mayflower Church. For most of us, we will enjoy a table of plenty during this Thanksgiving week. So the prayer we offer every Sunday Give us this day our daily bread may have a hollow ring. When we pray and worship today, we will be totally identifying with those whose daily existence includes food insecurity and maybe who may be homeless. We will do what Jesus always did. Think about the physical needs of people as he ministered to their spiritual needs. May it be so in every aspect of our sacred hour of music, prayer, scripture, and the spoken word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God and compassionate Lord, we enter into your gates with thanksgiving. We have much to be thankful for as we gather in your name, but as we enjoy our bountiful harvest of blessings, help us to remember that a blessing for many in this world would be a hot meal and a place to stay. We thank you for all those in our community who help provide those simple blessings of life. We ask that you would sensitize and motivate us to not only support, but to be actively involved in the ministry of compassion and to work to end the injustices and inequities which contribute to human need. Change us, use us, and help us to carry out your mission of unconditional love. In the name and spirit of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
When you look in the bulletin and see the word special music, I think the word special has a special meaning here at Mayflower. Always. Well, today is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I trust that you have a place to go. And for many, if not most, that you would be able to spend time with family. And that if you don't, you will feel the love of God richly dwelling within your heart. Most of us today will enjoy, Thanksgiving, will enjoy a scrumptious meal. And as I said, many will enjoy the blessing and the companionship of family members. But as followers of Christ, our blessings will also help us to remember those who do not and cannot enjoy these same blessings. That is why we share our bounty with those who are not only less fortunate, but with those whose opportunities are limited and curtailed by our indifferences to the injustices in our society. So we thoughtfully engage ourselves not only in the giving of our gifts, but in the ways we can effect changes in systems which can produce in us attitudes of apathy and entitlement. We also remember that empty bellies have no ears. God bless us as we give of our resources, our time, our talents, and most importantly, ourselves. Thank you, Mayflower, not only for your giving, but your thoughtful reflections demanded with our claim to be followers of Christ. And with that, at the close of Mark's message today, not this Mark, but that Mark, will give you opportunity to bring in addition to that lovely display that's already here, for us to do it not only as a symbol, but in reality of the gifts that come not just from our wallets, but from our hearts. With that, you know what the drill is here, with offering plates that are at the front and the rear of the sanctuary, but we offer ourselves as a gift to God in worship just now. Let us pray. Eternal God and our forgiving and loving Lord, we have entered your courts with praise and into your gates with thanksgiving. But even with that, our hearts are broken for the brokenness of the world. Help us not to shun the news. And help us not to shun the sadness we feel for places and things in this world that seemingly are out of our control. But Lord, that is why we pray. And so for many needs that come to many minds this morning, I pray for the Kurdish refugees turned away at the border of Poland and Belarus. For the struggle of thousands of Afghan refugees to resettle and find homes and jobs. For the struggle in our country to define self-defense with the ever-increasing violence in our culture of guns. For the evaporation of income through inflation and the scarcity of some basic needs of life. For the homeless in this country and in our own community. For our compassion and kindness toward them, and without judgment, and for the quickening of our spirit when the road of least resistance is indifference and blame. On this Sunday, when we focus on our thanksgiving to God for our blessings, help us to realize that God has chosen us to be the agents of blessings for others in our giving and with our responsibilities as citizens and disciples to advocate and to effect change. We thank you for the ministry of giving and sharing through the Lansing City Rescue Mission and the dedication of people like Mark Chris, who make it their mission to help, to alleviate, and to provide in the name of Christ. Give us open ears, generous hearts, and a renewed determination to carry out our mission of love and service to all, but especially to those most vulnerable in our society, without regard to the color of their skin, the circumstances of their need, or the language they speak. Help us, O Lord, to be more like the one whom we say we follow. Be with those within our circle of love and care, especially today for the families of Linda Williams and Liz Tingley, for Martha's grandson, Greg Harrington, and family, Mary Robinson's brother, Bill Bishop, Lillian's brother, Jake Homer, Mary Muhammad's sister, Helen, Sheila Reinbrandt, Debbie Conlin, Paula Kay, Reverend Terry Bobzien, and others whose first names we mention now. Lord, these are all names among many others that are near and dear to your heart. Help us to know in our praying and our caring and our sharing that these names are not only near and dear, but precious in your sight. Now, Lord, help us to continue to be a praying congregation, but also to put actions with our prayers, even as we pray the prayer that you have taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. Jesus broke boundaries and thereby illustrated the highest principles of the law, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Women and Samaritans weren't typically on the approved list of neighbors. Jesus changed that. In fact, Jesus changed everything. So hear now these words. Again, he began to teach beside the lake. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the lake and sat there while the whole crowd was beside the lake on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil, and it brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." So, my friends, as Jesus said, let anyone with ears to hear listen.
I don't know about you, but I like coffee. I lived in Seattle for 20 years. And I have a mug that I drink from very often, and written on it is Lansing City Rescue Mission. Mark, do you know where that came from? Roger Kennedy and I were privileged to attend a banquet just a few short weeks ago where Mark and his team presented some of the needs of the Lansing City Rescue Mission, and they had some things that you could just take. And I saw that coffee cup, and I just made sure that it didn't cost anything, and it didn't. It was provided by some of the generous donors, and boy, I'm enjoying coffee in that cup almost every day, Mark. Now, for some of you eagle eyes, you may notice that the scripture that was read was different than the scripture than from John 4, and I'm not sure quite how that happened, but as I mentioned it to Mark, he said this. He said, "There's no mistakes here." So I'm going to let Mark sort that one out, and we are anxious to hear about the ministry of the Lansing City Rescue Mission, and we welcome him in every way. Mark, this pulpit is yours.
Whenever we come before God's word, it never fails. And what was described with Deanne really is what the City Rescue Mission does. We get the opportunity to share the word of God every single day. And we get to see how it impacts people's lives. And so I'm going to follow through with the explanation that Jesus has in just a little while to that parable. Because he does go on and explain a little more about that parable. City Rescue Mission has been around for 110 years. And so we've been meeting needs in our community for 110 years. And Thomas and Emily Dalton began the mission in 1911. Thomas was an alcoholic, and he didn't seem to like those Christians. As a matter of fact, his wife was a Christian, and he would not allow her to serve at Salvation Army. But she was a Salvationist for the longest time, and he came home pretty intoxicated one day and burned her bonnet and said, "You can no longer go to Salvation Army." But not months later, guess what happens? He heard the word of God, and it transformed his life. And the City Rescue Mission on Allegan Street began to close its doors. And he was just a young believer at this time. And when it closed its doors, he felt led by God to start the City Rescue Mission of Lansing. So him and his wife, Emily, began the rescue mission in 1911 on Michigan Avenue, probably at about the 400 block on Michigan Avenue. We're currently on the 600 block. And they've been serving the Lord ever since, meeting needs in our community, just like you've been doing over the past week or so, collecting food for the City Rescue Mission, for the mouths that we feed. You are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And that's what Thomas Emily Dalton did back in 1911. And of course, it's continued to grow over the years, but the purpose has always been the same, is to be able to preach the Word of God, to see God transform lives and meet needs. So meet physical needs of food and shelter, to bring those with spiritual needs the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And so I love to see the activity that you're doing right now to meet needs and help us provide the food that will go in people's bellies. And last night we had 200 men, women, and children spend the night with us last night. 200 men, women, and kids. Oh, 100 of them are women and children. And so on Michigan Avenue, you've seen the Jesus Saves Cross, yes? Yeah. So raise your hand if you've seen the Jesus Saves Cross. All right. I think it's an icon. It's certainly been there since 1948. In Lansing, it's certainly an icon in our capital area. That's where our men's ministry is located. And so we shelter about 80 men on Michigan Avenue. And we also provide meals there as well. And we get to proclaim the Word of God. But on South Cedar Street, south of Mount Hope, so we take Mount Hope east here, get my directions right, take a right, go about a block on the right-hand side, just south of the Michigan Works building, is the old Maplewood Elementary School, which is, of course, now the City Rescue Mission, where women and kids stay. We've been there for just over a decade now, meeting needs in the community there. So that's where 100 women and kids spent the night last night, was on South Cedar Street. And we also have a drop-in center, and that's relatively new. We've had it since January 2019, so it's going to be 3 years in January. And that's kind of a new ministry for us. There was a pastor named Mark. I guess that must be a thing, another Mark. Mark Bozo had come to Christ about 20 years ago. He was a drug dealer and a pimp, and he ended up going to jail for quite a while. And guess what he found in prison? Jesus Christ. He heard the Word of God, and it transformed his life. And so it fell on good soil, and it sprang up, produced, reproduced, and it brought glory to God, bore much fruit. Some of that fruit included sharing the gospel on the streets, and he was helping people that were kicked out of shelters or maybe mentally ill, didn't want to go to shelters or have severe drug addiction or alcohol addiction. And so he was serving people, probably about 12 people. If I can make a long story short, Mark and I became really good friends. And then as we decided we were going to merge organizations so we could provide more resources for him to meet these needs, he ended up going to glory. Doesn't sound fair for me, does it? Because he's in glory, right? It's amazing to see how God brings people together. So as we decided to merge companies, the mission decided we would continue what Mark Bozo started. Hopefully one day we'll continue our friendship in heaven one day. But that kind of led me to recognize the mission had to create a larger net to meet the needs of people that we were not meeting. And so it's now called the City Outreach, City Rescue Mission Outreach Center on North Lark Street. Last night we sheltered about 30 people at that location. So that's our drop-in centers for the severely mentally ill, those with severe addictions to drugs and alcohol. So we call it a no-barrier shelter because there really was no barrier shelter for people. And so we want to keep people safe. We want them off the streets. We want to tell them about Jesus. We want to get them to long-term rehabilitation programs, get them to community mental health as well. And so our net's larger and larger. Again, over 200 people last night, and that's pretty much our average. It's grown pretty dramatically over the years. I think 20 years ago when I first got started the mission, I was serving a meal. And I was taking the food that was donated and serving it to those that came. And I started seeing the purpose was the idea of sharing the Word of God. So I would sneak into the chapel before the mealtime. And I started hearing lay ministers and preachers share the Word of God. And I was really convicted of my way of life, that I love the world and the things of the world. And the Word of God says, if you love the world and the things of the world, then God's not in you. It says, don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has or does come not from the Father, but from the world. Then it says, the world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. I heard the Word of God, which is transforming, and I ended up leaving technology to go into ministry. That was probably the shortest explanation I think I ever gave anybody. I hope it was profitable, though. And my wife and I decided it was time to go to leave technology, go into ministry. So I've been there a little over 18 years now as executive director. And it's kind of funny because sometimes you think you're helping God out. You ever try to help God out? A few of you, yes? So here I'm thinking I'm helping God. Like, I'm going to volunteer more of my time. And what ended up happening is God ended up changing my heart and realizing that that's really what I'm called to do, is be able to share the Word of God. And so probably 20 years ago, a busy night to the City Rescue Mission was probably about 40 people. We had about 40 men, women, and kids at the City Rescue Mission. So you can see over a fivefold over the 20 years that God's continued to provide through his people. And the City Rescue Mission does not receive any government funding. It's all through God's people, through people such as yourself that love the Lord. We pray, and guess what happens? Did I hear? Someone said, God provides. Exactly. It's that simple. That's our marketing strategy, guys. We pray, and God provides. God provides through his people. Our budget's $2.75 million, and none of that comes from the federal government or the state government. All comes from God's people. The average giver gives about $140. The average giver probably gives twice a year. And it's amazing to see how God provides abundantly. And so my responsibility is to be a good steward. And so being a good steward is to be wise in which God provides, but also to proclaim God's word as well. It's amazing to see when people come to the mission, maybe they came because they were hungry. Maybe they came because they didn't have a place to stay. But can you imagine if maybe that was you, but maybe your biggest issue wasn't that you're homeless or hungry. Maybe your biggest issue is you didn't know God. That you didn't know that you're created in the image of God for the glory of God. And what if for the first time you come in the chapel and you hear that you're created in the image of God and you're not a mistake? What if you spent your entire life thinking that you're just a mistake? You're just created by chance. Wouldn't it be wonderful good news to recognize that even though you're separated from God, God provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine for the first time you recognize that you're not a mistake? You're created in the image of God for the glory of God. Even though we deserve the judgment of God because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, God provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be good news? This afternoon, I'm going to a funeral, and the gentleman's name is Ron Foster. He was retired state of police dispatcher. He was in the Army for a season before that, and he came to the mission. He served as our lead cook for 15 years. So for 15 years, he faithfully provided meals. He was never homeless himself, but he wanted to be able to serve the Lord. And he went to glory this past week. And so I get to talk about Ron's work this afternoon. And you think maybe something that seems kind of mundane, maybe something that maybe doesn't seem that special. You come for a meal. You're hungry. But imagine again, that meal that may end up changing that person's life eternally. Just because you're hungry, you come and you find eternal life. And that's what Ron persistently did. We wanted to make sure that the meals were of great quality. Yeah, you can't beat the price mark. It's free. It's always free. But it's always good quality. As a matter of fact, we want to show our good quality, so we compete in the Chili Cook-Off every year, except for recently. And we've got 11 awards in our dining room for the Chili Cook-Off Championships. And just as an example of the good quality of work that we see the City Rescue Mission of Lansing. And Ron represented that. He set the stage for good quality meals. And so whether you come in the evening or in the morning for a meal, you're going to find a good quality meal. We provide over 100,000 meals a year. And again, all that food is donated from God's people. We don't pay a penny for the food. And so you imagine 100,000 meals, and we actually budget $0 for food, because God provides every single morsel through people like yourself. So know that what you're doing is important because it proclaims the kingdom of God. It tells people about Christ. It tells people about their lost condition and God's good news of salvation as well. I've recently announced, I want to say in January, almost a year ago now, a new project for the City Rescue Mission of Lansing. So even though we shelter 200 men, women, and kids, we're looking at expanding our men's ministry on Michigan Avenue. So it's called the Next Project of Hope. And we purchased two buildings to the west. So we own four buildings on Michigan Avenue. We don't own the whole block yet. Some people ask me, like, one day I hope to own the whole block. We now own six of 13 buildings on the 600 block of Michigan Avenue. So we're working in four buildings. We bought two more buildings. And we're looking to renovate all six now. So we're looking to expand from 80 beds to 120 beds, which includes more bathrooms, more showers, a larger chapel, larger dining room. But also, just as important, we're also building single-room occupancies in this project. We're providing 18 rooms for men that are on disability, so we call it our supportive dorm right now. And so they'll be able to rent a room because they really can't afford a room or an apartment in Lansing's area, in Lansing community. Affordable housing is difficult and challenging. But even on top of that, a lot of men that have disability might go back into bad ways of living if they're living alone. And so they need some kind of community, and this gives them that community. I think over the past 5 years, they recognize the importance of it. We've got a really small dorm called a supportive dorm. We've got five men in the supportive dorm. And basically, it's, I would compare it to a giant studio apartment. Now, remember back in college when you lived in a studio apartment? A studio apartment for five guys. That's what I kind of compare it to. You got a little cubicle where you sleep, and you got a little storage locker, and you've got kind of a common area with a kitchen. And I realized that every single day we're full. And if we had 15 beds, it'd be full. If we had 18 single rooms, it'd be full, because people just can't find affordable housing in the community. But also, it allows them to be have accountability. During our banquet, and actually Pastor Mark saw this video, there's this gentleman, there was four guys that we interviewed from a supportive dorm, and these are guys that you never would pick to be best friends. The one guy is an airborne ranger with PTSD. He said he jumped out of more than 300 jumps during his career. He's probably about 6'4". We've got another little guy from New York via Atlanta, and these guys are best friends. And it's kind of funny to think, because this guy from Atlanta named Tony, he explained his visit to City Rescue, like, what brought you to the City Rescue Mission? He said, well, my wife and I moved to Atlanta to be with my mother, and within 2 months, my mother passed away. And then within 2 weeks, my wife passed away. And just that alone makes you wonder, like, what people's stories are. Like, how did you end up in Lansing? He says, well, my son said, come to Lansing, Michigan, which I've never been to Lansing, Michigan. He goes, come to Lansing, Michigan, and we'll take care of you, Dad. And so I came to live with my son and his girlfriend, and within a few months, they ended up breaking up, and they ended up bringing me to the doors of the City Rescue Mission of Lansing. And the next thing he said was, it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because he found Christ. He became reconciled to God. And he had this supportive dorm. Literally, it's not just those who need support, but those who need a community, those who need other brothers to hold them accountable. And the guy that became his best friend, this airborne ranger, he says it took him 20 years to be clean from drugs and alcohol. He has been clean for 2 years. Why? Because we hold him accountable. Why? Because he's got a community. And he has other brothers in Christ that hold him accountable. And these are kind of things that evolved over time. I recognize over the past, especially 5 years, that we could do more in our community. And part of that is to provide this single room occupancy that we're working on. So this project, this next chapter of hope, will be a $3.5 million project to renovate these buildings, provide new single room occupancies. But the blessing is that we have more men that have other options in our community that you can help us provide and meet that need. And so the next step will be this expanding the men's ministry. So we'll increase it by about 50% capacity. But we also want to be able to meet the need of the affordable housing in our community as well. In the Word of God, Jesus does explain, of course I should have brought my glasses, right? I'm the only one that needs glasses, right? So be patient with me. He says, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground. So Jesus explains this parable. He first talks about the first parable goes to the path. He says, and these are the ones along the path where the Word of God is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And the second part of the parable says, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with great joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But, listen to this, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones with which the word and accepts it and bear fruit. Therefore, it creates fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Hope you followed me through that, even though it was difficult. So there's four types of how people receive the Word of God. Sometimes it's the path. Sometimes it's the rocky soil. Sometimes the thorns come and choke it out, and sometimes it falls on good soil. We have the opportunity to proclaim the word of God. The good news is God is the one who makes it prosper. God is the one who makes it grow. Our duty and responsibility is to proclaim the word. So we have this privilege of sharing the word at the Women's and Children's Shelter each night. We ask volunteers to come help us serve the meal. Then after the meal, we have a gospel message. On Michigan Avenue, we could do the same thing. And so often, I see men and women changed by the word of God. During the banquet, one lady proclaimed her testimony that she had come to the mission multiple times, and she was struggling with relationships and heroin, and she was on methadone for a long period of time. And while she was staying at the mission, probably the third or fourth time, she truly put her faith in Christ. And she's no longer a heroin addict. She's no longer on methadone. She's actually serving in a local church, and she has her own place, and she's working hard. And so the first thing we always tell people, when you get a place, what's the next thing? Find a church. Find a local church like this to be able to serve the Lord and grow and hear the word of God. And she's doing exactly that. And so God's word is effectual. God's word impacts lives as it's impacting your life today as well. So I promise you, as you support the mission, you pray for the mission, we'll be good stewards of what you provide. We'll be good stewards of this food. We'll proclaim the word of God as well. And if you'd be willing to pray for the next chapter of hope in downtown Lansing, we promise we'll have a huge impact. So thank you for your time, and thank you for your prayers. God bless.
He's pretty quick on his feet. Thanks, Mark. Thank you very much. We've all been touched and moved in different ways. I'm reminded, and this I'll put my little pastoral stamp on this one, something that my mother always taught me, and something that Mark reinforced this morning, and that is that every person standing on the street, appearing to be homeless and or begging for something, has a story. We all have stories, don't we? So with that, and I think after the closing hymn, we have some trumpets to go along with it. We're excited about that, and then we'll have the opportunity to bring those goods forward as a very real and symbolic way of our commitment to meet needs.
Thank you. The book of Proverbs reminds us that those who give from their hearts have a cheerful spirit. And I'm here as a pastor, Mark, to testify that I'm looking at giving people in so many different ways. And I'd like to give testimony that your giving spirit ministers to me as your pastor, your open hearts, your generous spirits. And so with that, many of you have brought goods that you can set up here. I think as Deanne will play a little music for us. And if you simply would like to add to the gifts financially, you're welcome to write a check to the Mayflower Church. Just make sure you make it very clear that's for the Lansing Rescue Mission and or Harvest Sunday. So, got some stuff, bring it up here, and that's the way we'll end our service, praising God.
Time for a pastor to bless the people with the blessing of God, but I would like to say that I am the recipient. I think everybody up on this platform is a recipient of you folks, the giving folks with a heart of God that give and make a blessing for those of us who prepare the worship service. So we are all here to praise God with all that we have. And thank you for doing that as an inspiration and as a gift to God. Now go in peace. Amen.